This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome to the latest edition of Tiger Cast. Big weekend in terms of Ivy Championships, the final three of the season, and the start of the NCAA Championships for the women's lacrosse team. On today's show, we will have Georgie Howe, senior co-captain for the women's open rowing team, and Jimson Cavage, junior on the men's lightweight rowing team. Those two of the three that are going for Ivy titles this weekend. On Mother's Day, we'll talk about those two teams in a minute. First, let's look at the schedule for the weekend. As always, follow on PU Tigers and GoPrincetonTigers.com. Track teams have the IC4A and ECAC meet at Weaver Stadium this weekend. Coming off, of course, the Heptagonal Outdoor Championships, the men, a thrilling win to go back-to-back with the indoor title, and then the women taking third, a really nice finish for them. On Friday, Cornell and Notre Dame will play at 7 p.m., the first round of the NCAA tournament in Princeton. So that's the game that will determine Princeton's opponent on Sunday. Sunday's game is a 1 p.m. start. Princeton taking on either Cornell or Notre Dame in what is considered the second round of the NCAA tournament, that basically the round of 16. And, you know, Princeton enters as the fifth seed, coming off wins last weekend at Cornell against Penn in the first semifinals, and then Cornell in the finals. Just a terrific performance by the Tigers, and a team with a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum heading into these NCAA championships. On Sunday as well, the final three Ivy League titles up for grabs. The Open Women in the Ivy Championships, that's at Cooper River in Pensauken. Heats in the morning, finals at night. We'll talk about them more in a second before our interview with Georgie Howe. And then the Heavyweight Men and Lightweight Men on Lake Quinsigamond. In Worcester, they will compete at the Eastern Sprints. That determines the Ivy League champion as well. We'll talk about the heavyweights following the interview with Georgie Howe, and then the lightweights right before our interview with Jimson Cavage. Let's get to those interviews now. We'll start with Georgie Howe and look at this open rowing team. And Princeton won two of the last three Ivy titles. Georgie Howe, part of both of those boats. NCAA's titles determined by the aggregate score of your first varsity, your second varsity eight, and your varsity four. The Ivy Championships is the, you know, kind of more standard one boat, you know, your varsity eight, winner take all. And, you know, Princeton will go into the Ivy Championships with an 11-0 mark, 7-0 in the Ivy League. But really, if you look at the league, there's three boats that you have to pay attention to. Obviously, Princeton, which will be the top seed, and then Brown and Yale. Princeton beat Yale by about 1.2 seconds, beat Brown by a little bit more, less than 3 seconds overall. Brown has, I think, a win over Yale. That was a really close race as well. So those three boats, you would have to figure, will be there with 500 meters to go on Cooper River. And, you know, for Princeton, for all teams, it's a test, because when they faced each other, you know, you could really focus on that one boat. Now you're focusing on kind of that six-boat field. And look, you know, could Harvard make a big run? Could Cornell or you know, Penn make a run? Obviously, you know, anything's in play when it's one race. But, you know, I think you will certainly see, you know, second half of that race and maybe the final 500. You know, I would not be surprised to see Cornell, Yale and Brown and Princeton there. And in these races, sometimes it is just how you come out of the gates. Sometimes it's just, if you've got an edge at 500, you know, the first 500, sometimes it can be hard to get back into it. And so the first 500 will tell a lot. And then obviously that last 500, you know, if it's two boats, if it's three boats, how they can finish will be exciting. Georgie Howe's been there. She's experienced two of these titles. She'd love to nothing more than to experience one more. Let's hear from her right now.
Georgie, obviously a lot to talk about this season and then, you know, leading up to Ivy's. But last year's Ivy experience was so different and interesting and obviously special to you. I do want to touch on that. What do you remember kind of about, you know, the 24 to 48 hours leading up to that, where you knew there was a lot of things that were still up in the air because of the weather, and when you found out it was at going to be at Lake Carnegie, and then when you found out the crazy new schedule, like, how hard was that, those couple days, and what do you remember about that morning?
Well, I guess I'll actually start with the day before. We thought we were going to be racing on the Saturday afternoon. So we did a training run on the Saturday morning, and then we were told to kind of sit tight at the hotel because we could be racing that night and then doing the finals the next morning. So we didn't really have much time to relax. And then it wasn't until about 7:30 that night when we got word that we weren't racing then and that they still hadn't given us a time for racing the next morning. But yeah, when we woke up, I think our heat was at like 6 a.m. I think I got up at like 4 a.m. and you really didn't have much time to think. I was actually talking about this with Megan Wheeler, who was in the boat with me. I was talking with her yesterday, and we were just saying we had no time to really comprehend what was really going on. We just knew we had to race hard and race well.
When it's all said, I mean, is it almost better that way when there is no time to think? I mean, you know, you kind of get into a schedule. I mean, you know how most of these championship days are, where you have the heat in the morning and then the heat at night. But in a situation like that, are you better off just not having time to think and just go out and race?
I think sometimes too much time allows you to get inside your own head a little bit. And the key to racing well is just relaxing a bit and just rowing, pretty much, just keeping it really simple. Which has certainly been a theme for our boat this year. If you get too much into your own head, you start to think about other things, and that just becomes a distraction from the eventual goal.
Let's talk about this team. Obviously, you know, you lost some really talented seniors last year, but you've had some freshmen who've kind of been in this top boat from the start of the season. You've gone undefeated, but you've had some really tight races, especially Brown and Yale. And you know those will be, two of the major challengers this weekend. But kind of in terms of progress and development, have you been satisfied with kind of where the boat has come from that Brown race and maybe even before to where it is right now?
This year has been a bit unique in the fact that we've had a little bit more time than usual on the water. And I say that with a very unique experience, because I mean, my sophomore year we didn't get on the water till like mid-March, so I'm used to getting on the water like 1st of March, but this year we're able to sneak on in February, which was nice. So we're able to like kind of chip away at development a bit earlier than usual, but this season I think we've made some really good strides. Each race has just been like a step forward, another step forward. We tried not to step back as much as possible. But, I mean, of course, you're going to have setbacks throughout in a season. That's just the ebb and flow of a season, how it goes. But I think we've, like, built on some really good momentum past few weeks and had a really good block of training leading into Ivy's.
The race at Yale, you know, that was one that, you know, they're ranked right around you. I mean, Brown was so much further back in the season, it's probably even hard to remember it much. But how good is a race like that on an unfamiliar course against a good opponent and being challenged and really having to push those final, you know, 300, 400, you know, yards to meters to get through that and to win like that, knowing you're probably going to have another kind of final sprint like that?
It's always tough. Like, I mean, this season was cool in the fact that we got to race away every weekend. We've only had two races at home, whereas last season we had every single race at home. So that was a luxury in on itself. I think as a team, we're pretty resilient in terms of where we race, how we race, when we race. We can be thrown into any situation and we'll respond well. But yeah, I mean, Yale is always a really tough opponent. We love racing them. They always throw down everything they got, and that's all you can really ask for in a race. Win or lose, like, you just want to go out there and leave nothing on the water. When we raced Yale, it was, it was a big one, but, I mean, we just raced our race, and we managed to come out on top.
You've had a couple freshmen in your boat the whole season, and look, you know what it's like to go into this weekend as a freshman in the top boat and race for an Ivy title. What do you remember about your freshman experience, and is there things that you can you talk to with you know Emerson and Hadley that maybe can kind of help them understand what Sunday will be like?
Yeah, look, I mean, Emerson and Hadley, they're great freshmen. They're a bit more clued in than I was. In a boat with, I think it was 5 or 6 seniors. So we had a lot of senior leadership, and I just kind of kept my head down and did what I was told. But I mean, this year past years actually it's been a younger boat, and the team culture has evolved to a point where freshmen can be heard, and like their opinions count, and like they're actually like stepping up into an almost a leadership role in on themselves. And so I actually all season I haven't really had to as you say impart any wisdom onto them. They kind of know what the game is. They've seen how we've been acting around races, and they've clued into that. And I'm really excited to see them perform this weekend. I love to race with them. I think they're great kids. They're going to do some great things in the years to come, and hopefully that will start this weekend.
When you get to Sunday and you get to that final race, and you know you had the 4-boat race to on senior day. You had 3 boats when it was brown, but you know a 6-boat race like this. But knowing that, you know, it was less than 2 seconds with Yale and I think less than 3 seconds with Brown, and Brown and Yale were really tight at the end of the season. Do you have to kind of know where those 2 boats are at all times, or is it just, look, we have to race our own race and kind of see where we are at that final sprint?
Yeah, look, I mean, we as rowers pretty much cogs on a wheel. Amanda is our eyes. She's brilliant in a 6-boat race. She's very clued in, the most canny of them all. But yeah, she pretty much tells us where we are, but we just have to stick in and race our own plan. If needed, she'll throw in an extra move here or there, like to put us in a better position. But we just have to be ready to respond, and our fitness is such that we can do whatever she needs us to do. We just need to keep internal, keep relaxed, and race our own race.
We'll turn our attention to the men's sprints. Sunday, Lake Quinsigamond in Worcester, Mass. Heavyweights and lightweights. We'll talk about the heavyweights first and then get to the lightweights before our interview with Jim Sienkiewicz. The heavyweights will go in as the 3rd seed, 5th-ranked team in the country. Only league losses are to Yale and Harvard, so... certainly those will be the boats that Princeton will be targeting. You know, when you look at this field, it certainly feels like the top 3, it's going to be tough to crack that group for the medal stand. Dartmouth is the 4th seed. You never know. I mean, they you know, it's one good race, but, you know, Yale, Harvard, Princeton certainly look like the favorites for the medal stand. Now, whether Princeton can flip a couple of those earlier results... with a boat that actually has quite a bit of youth in it, it's a tough ask, but you know it's a boat that is coming off a nice win against Brown at the end of the season, and you know it learned a lot in those mid-April losses to Harvard and Yale, and now it's a question of whether they can turn that around. The lightweights, a little different story in that you know the top 5 when you look at them. Cornell, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Penn. I mean, you just look at Princeton's results against that group. Harvard, they lost by a little over 4 seconds, but then Yale under, I think, like under 3 seconds. Cornell under 2 seconds. They beat Penn by under 2 seconds. Really tight margins. And you can make the case for Princeton that, you know, you can see them winning. I mean, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. They weren't far off of Harvard. That was the biggest margin. But on the same token, you can see them off the medal stand because that's how close everybody is. And we're talking 5 boats, and that's just 5. I mean, again, somebody can come off the pace. Navy, who you know, could be the 6th boat, already owns a win over Princeton this season. So I think the men's lightweight final of the 6 finals, I mean, sorry, of the 3 finals, varsity 8 finals, that one has the chance to be the most explosive overall. You know, I think... Ivy women, probably 3 boats going for the title. Heavyweight men, probably 3 boats going for the title. lightweight men, if you told me there are six boats, you know, within maybe a length and a half at 1,000 meters, and then, you know, four boats making contact with each other at 500 meters, I wouldn't be surprised. It's just the way this field is. It's historically been the way men's lightweight rowing has been. And then this year, even more close than in a lot of the past years. So anything's possible. That title is especially up for grabs this weekend. And somebody who will be looking to get Princeton its first sprints title since 2010 will be our next interview guest. Let's hear now from Jim Sienkiewicz.
Jim, we'll get to sprints this Sunday in a second, but you know, it's the first time we've talked to, you know, a lightweight rower this season. So let's look at the year, and you know, parity is always a big word when it comes to your sport. But when you look at the margins this season for you guys, win or lose, and even some of the margins against with those other teams, does it feel like this is as tightly packed a group of boats, you know, maybe one through five that you've seen in your 3 years?
Certainly. I think in my 3 years here, this is absolutely the most competitive top end of the Ivy League field that I've experienced. And, you know, as you said, the league is so competitive that, you know, every few years, maybe one or two teams won't be at the very top of the heap. But, you know, this year there are certainly many, many teams that are all absolutely have chances to win it. And luckily we've shown that we're certainly one of those teams as well. So it's exciting to have very competitive racing all year long, and it certainly keeps us sharp. So it's been, exciting to be in competitive races week after week. And we've certainly taken a lot from, you know, competing against all of our, all the other teams in the Ivy League.
It probably seems like, you know, a previous season, but that first race you had against Navy, you know, I'm sure it caught you off guard to lose that race, but it seemed like from that point moving forward, you made a big jump. You obviously had that Columbia win, and then you were really close to the win over, you know, a number one team in Cornell on their course. When you look back on that race and that result, could it have been a blessing in disguise that either it humbled you or it pointed out some clear things that needed to be fixed?
Absolutely. I think, you know, anytime you line up against another crew and they get the better of you, it certainly can be disappointing. But depending on where you're at in the season and how you respond as a crew after a loss, you know, it can absolutely be a blessing. And I think that first race in particular, certainly we had a lot of strong preparation before, but coming out of a loss like that, I think we learned a lot about ourselves and how we need to compete. So although it's always disappointing to let another crew get the better of you, I think we certainly learned a lot from that experience, and I think that definitely helped motivate our training for weeks after.
What have you liked about this boat? I mean, what have you seen either in terms of just, you know, the way you're executing races or intangibly? I mean, is there something about this group that you've really liked that you know, has given you kind of belief and confidence moving forward?
I think the group of guys we have, both in the varsity who I've been racing with, and the second eight, I think we've got, you know, all class years from freshman to sophomore. And all season long, I've just been absolutely impressed with how much all of my teammates have pushed myself and how much, you know, everyone has pushed each other. And, you know, week after week, everyone's attitudes are absolutely upbeat. And the competition between us has been definitely the fiercest I've seen in my 3 years. So I really just have to give all the credit to my teammates and, you know, both in the top boat and the second boat. Whether personnel are being moved around or not, the excitement and competitiveness in the group has been, really, really encouraging. And, at the same time, the level of teamwork has really been impressive as well.
Let's go back to that, the last race of the season, that you know, Gaultway Cup race with Harvard and Yale, and you know, such kind of a historic race and rivalries. And when you get into a race like that, even though those final margin really isn't that big, I mean, it's about 4 seconds between you and Harvard, maybe about, you know, two and a half between you and Yale. Did it feel like, for whatever reason, after that first 500, you just couldn't kind of get your way back into, you know, because it seemed like for most of the race, it was Harvard and Yale, and you were right there. You never got away, but you never were able to get back into that front group. I mean, could you feel that, a frustration just to not be able to kind of get yourself into it, into a three-way race second half?
I think after the race, you definitely explained it well. That was certainly probably the biggest takeaway and what's really been motivating our training the past week. You know, we had strong speed throughout the entire piece, and we actually kept our speed about as consistent as we have. We never fell off, you know, stayed consistent. But just like you said, I think we expected to be a little bit more in the thick of the racing coming out of the first 500. And certainly that's something that we'd like to improve upon, making sure that we're the tip of the spear, pushing out, having a very strong start. And then for the remainder of the piece coming out of the first 500, it's really important for us to not only stay consistent like we did, but in those crucial points in the race, when crews have to make moves, we need to make sure all eight guys and the coxswain together, you know, we really take advantage of those opportunities. And I think that's one of the big things we want to improve on from last week.
You know, you have experience in these, you know, sprints and IRAs. And, you know, so you go to, I mean, you've had three boat races during the season. So, you know, a little bit more than just a one-on-one. But when it comes to now six boats, and like you said, the field is so tightly packed, do you kind of have to be aware of different lanes? I mean, you never know kind of who's going to break out, or in that case, is it even more important to just kind of be, you know, single-minded and focused on your own boat? I mean, how much does it change, two boat, three boat versus six boats?
I think luckily, you know, when you're adding boats and you're going from dual races to three boat races and going to the six boat races at sprints and IRAs, luckily, I think I have a lot of confidence in our coxswains to be able to be aware and manage, you know, a little bit more going on in the lanes to our left and right. And as rowers, I think, you know, a key to rowing is always making sure that you're focusing on what's going on between your gunnels, focusing on your own rowing and rowing with your crew. And I think certainly as we move to six boat races, each of us rowing will be a little bit more aware of what's going on in the other lanes next to us. But at the same time, I think, you know, racing that many other crews makes it that much more important for us to really execute on when we want to move, because now we're not trying to push away from one crew or two crews. We're trying to make a move on the entire field. So while it lends itself to us being more aware of what's going on in the other lanes, at the same time, it makes it that much more important for us to really galvanize as a crew and try to push away when we see the opportunity and hopefully we can capitalize on it.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.